Title: Push-Pull Timing Between Kicks and Breaks Advanced. Alright, let's get into one of the most addictive parts of drum and bass drum programming. Push-pull timing between your kick and your break. This is advanced, not because it's complicated, but because it's subtle. You're working in milliseconds, and those milliseconds decide whether your loop feels like it's sprinting, stomping, or just kind of falling apart. Here's the big idea for today. The kick is the anchor. The kick is the grid. The break is the living thing that breathes around it. In great D&B, you can feel the kick as the boss of the groove, but the break brings the attitude. Hats hint forward for urgency, snares sit back for weight, ghost notes shuffle for roll. And the magic is that you can create more forward drive without touching the BPM. We're building a heavy, clean drum bus at around 174 BPM. Gridlocked kick, break layer with controlled push and pull, and a workflow where you can /B micro-timing choices quickly, because your first instinct is rarely your best instinct. Step 0, set up the session so timing decisions are actually audible. Set the tempo to 174 BPM. Create 4 tracks, a kick track, a break track as audio, an optional snare or clap reinforcement track, and then group them into a drum bus group. On that drum bus group, add Spectrum just to keep an eye on balance. Then add Ableton drum bus. Drive somewhere around 2 to 6, depending on how aggressive you want the drum body to feel. Boom around 10 to 25%, typically centered in the 50 to 70 Hz zone, but you'll adjust based on the kick's fundamental. And add a bit of transience, maybe +5 to +15, to make the front edge speak. Then add glue compressor. Attack 3 milliseconds, release on auto ratio 2:1. And don't slam it. You're aiming for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. The point is knitting, not crushing. Teacher note, before you judge microtiming, you need a consistent monitoring chain. If your bus is changing a lot while you tweak timing, you'll end up chasing ghosts. Now step 1. Make the kick the grid anchor. Program a simple two-step style kick. In one bar at 174, you can put the kick on 1.1.1, and then another kick around 1.3.1. Or if you want more skip, try 1.3.3. The exact placement is genre flavor, but the principle stays the same. The kick is reliable. And for now, do not apply groove to the kick. If it's MIDI, keep your edits quantized tightly. If it's auto, make sure warp isn't accidentally drifting the transient. This is important. Zoom in until you can see the transient clearly, not just the peak, the very first leading edge. Your kick's leading edge should be exactly on the grid. Extra coach note here, peak alignment can lie. Your ear reads timing from the leading edge. So when you zoom in, you're looking for the first upward tick of the waveform, not the tallest spike. Step 2. Choose and prep your break layer. Warp like a pro. Drop in an amen, think, funky drummer, whatever you love, into the break audio track. Set warp mode to beats. Preserve should be set to transients. Transient loop mode on forward. And set the envelope somewhere around 20 to 40. Lower envelope tends to be tighter and more choppy. Higher envelope can smear transients. For timing work, you want the hits to stay crisp. Make sure 1.1.1 is actually the bar start. Use warp from here, straight if you need to straighten the loop, and then consolidate a clean 1 or 2 bar loop. This is key. Get the macro timing correct first. Push-pull is micro timing. If the loop isn't stable, you're trying to do surgery on a moving vehicle. Step 3. Create push-pull using clip warp markers. This is the most real, most D&B authentic method. Open the break clip and identify 3 categories of hits. The kickish low thumps, the main snare hits, and the hat runs and ghost notes. Place warp markers only where needed. A good starting move is to put a warp marker on the downbeat transient to keep the bar stable, and a warp marker on the main snare transient. Now do controlled micro moves. First, pull the snare slightly late. That usually means moving the snare warp marker later by about 6 to 15 milliseconds. That's the zone where it starts feeling heavier and more laid back without turning into a sloppy flam. Second, push some hats slightly early. Move key hat or ride transients earlier by about 4 to 10 milliseconds. That creates urgency and forward motion. Now, guardrail. Don't overwarp. If you add warp markers to everything, 2 things happen. 1. It starts to sound facey and artificial. 2. Beats warp mode can smear the brightness of your hats. If hats lose definition, you've probably used too many markers or your envelope is too high or both. Also, after every micro move, check the bar end. If the tail drifts, place a safety marker near the end of the bar to keep the loop length stable and stop your edits from pulling the whole clip off time. Here's a really practical listening test. Toggle warp on and off. If the clip gets messy, You didn't create groove, you created damage. Step 4. Use track delay for fast/B testing. This is your speed tool. Track delay lets you audition the relationship between kick and break instantly. Show track delays in the mixer section. Then start with the break track at +8 milliseconds. That means the kick hits first, and the break sits back behind it. That often feels weighty. Then try -5 milliseconds. Now the break is slightly early, pushing into the kick. That often feels urgent and a little aggressive. Most useful DNB range is about -10 to +15 milliseconds. Beyond that, it typically stops sounding like groove and starts sounding like the drummer is falling down the stairs. Teacher comment. Think in reference points, not just numbers. Decide which transient wins the moment. Downbeat authority means the kick transient is the first thing you feel on one. Backbeat weight means the snare feels like it lands after the implied pulse. Momentum means hats suggest earlier subdivisions without dragging the whole loop early. Step 5. Groove pool. But intelligently, this is where people ruin punch. Groove pool is amazing for human feel, but in DNB you have to use restraint. Pick an MPC groove or a swing 16 groove, or extract a groove from a break you love. Apply it to the break clip, not the kick. Start with timing at 10 to 25%, random at 0 to 5%, and if you're slicing and using velocity, maybe velocity at 0 to 10%. Try really hard to keep the kick ungrooved. If you absolutely must groove the kick, keep it tiny, like 5% timing max. But the best move, most of the time, is don't. Once it's feeling right, commit the groove. Then refine with track delay or warp markers. Groove pool can get you in the neighborhood, but the final 5 milliseconds is usually where the record lives. Now step 6. Tighten the low end while keeping the break alive. This is essential for big systems. When you push and pull break timing, low end clashes can show up. A late low end thump in the break can smear with your kick and your sub. Suddenly your drop sounds smaller, even though nothing is wrong on the grid. So on the break track, at EQ 8 and high pass it's somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz. If you want a cleaner modern sound, go steeper, like 24 dB per octave around 160 to 200. If you want more old school body, use a gentler slope and a lower cutoff. Then do the pro trick. Split the break into frequency bands. Duplicate the break. Make one track break TOP with a high pass around 200 Hz. Make another track break LOW with a low pass around 200 Hz. Keep break LOW timing closer to the kick. Less push, less pull. Let break TOP have the swing and the attitude. If you want to go even more advanced, do a three-way split. Break LOW from 0 to 140, break MID from 140 to about 2.5K, and break TOP above 2.5K. Keep the lows almost grid stable, pull the mids slightly for body, and push the tops the most for energy. That's how you exaggerate feel without wrecking punch. Add a light saturator on break TOP. Drive 1 to 4 dB, soft clip on. It helps the hats and texture stay audible even when the timing differences are tiny. Important order of operations note, do timing decisions before heavy saturation. Saturation can round transients and make your microtining harder to hear. Step 7. Use push-pull as an arrangement tool, not just a loop tweak. You can literally create section energy with timing states. Try this. In intro or breakdown, make the break late by +8 to +12 milliseconds. That creates lazy tension. At the drop, snap the break closer to the grid, like +2 to +5 milliseconds, so the kick feels massive and certain. Then in the second 16 bars, push the hats a little early, like -3 to -6 milliseconds, to lift energy without adding any new sounds. And for fills into drops, temporarily push only the highest frequency hat ticks earlier in tiny steps, leaving kick and main snare reference points stable. The brain reads it as acceleration, but you never touched BPM. If you're working with track delay, you can automate it in arrangement view. Or, even cleaner, print 3 versions of your break as audio clips and switch between them. Laid back, locked, agitated. That's often more stable than automating a bunch of warp markers. Now let's talk common mistakes, because this is where people get tricked. Mistake 1. Grooving the kick too much. Your whole track loses authority. Mistake 2. Overwarping the break. Too many markers leads to facey transients and smeared hats. Mistake 3. Shifting the entire break equally and calling it feel. Real feel is relative timing. Hats versus snare versus ghosts. Not just moving the whole clip. Mistake 4. Ignoring low-end timing. If the break has low content and you move it late, it can smear the punch. Mistake 5. Randomizing timing without intention. Humanize is not a vibe by itself. Controlled micro-timing is the vibe. Two more coach-level checks. One, do your timing decisions at two listening levels. Quiet reveals swing and urgency. Loudish reveals whether impact got softened. If it only grooves when loud, sometimes that's compression tricking you, not timing. Two, a slash B correctly. Microtiming changes can change transient overlap, which changes peak level, which changes how your compressor reacts. Level match your comparisons, and consider bypassing bus compression while judging timing. Then re-enable it and confirm your groove still hits. All right, mini practice exercise. Set a two-bar loop. Kick on grid. Break on top. Make three versions. Version A, heavy, set the whole break to plus 10 milliseconds and pull the snare marker to around plus 12 milliseconds. Version B, neutral, break plus 3 milliseconds, snare marker plus 6. Version C, urgent, break minus 5 milliseconds, push hats around minus 6 milliseconds and keep snare still slightly late, around plus 6, so it has weight even when the hats are excited. Then ask yourself, which one feels best at the drop? Which one works best for a darker roller? And does the kick still feel like the boss? Export each loop, label them clearly, and build the habit that timing choices are as real as sound choices. If you want a final advanced challenge, build a timing matrix. 9 loops. Combine 3 overall break delays, minus 5, 0, and plus 8 milliseconds, with 3 internal edit modes, hats pushed, snare pulled, and both hats pushed plus snare pulled. Print and label everything so you can actually compare later. Then do a translation test. Headphones, small speakers, and mono. Pick the best two that still feel intentional everywhere, and write a 32-bar drum arrangement using only those two timing states plus mutes. No new drum samples, just feel. Final recap to lock it in. Keep the kick grid anchored for weight and translation. Use warp markers for relative microtiming inside the break. Snare a bit late, hats a bit early. Use track delay for fastest slash B timing states. This audio version is shortened for playback.